Father, as I now prepare for the Word of God, I ask that you anoint the people to hear and receive. Anoint me to speak in such a way, Father, that Father, tossing and turning last night to bring a message to your people, I feel that I have your mind to do that. And so, Father, today may they be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're truly, how many of you can really believe that we're truly living in some difficult times? Praise God. But you know what? In spite of all the difficulties that times bring, how many of you know that as believers, we can have success? If we put our mind to it, we can succeed as believers. Amen? And if you're not a believer this morning, you're visiting us, we'll give you the opportunity to become a believer, praise God, so that you will not be played on as the world intends to play on your heart, but you can have purpose in your life. Because when you become a believer, you have the position of purpose in your life. When you're not a believer, you're not a part of the kingdom of God, then you are what the world dishes out, that's what you get. And thank God that when we get born again and brought into the kingdom of God, praise God, we're no longer citizens of this world, but we're citizens of the kingdom of the Most High. Amen. And so I believe that we're no longer fellow citizens of this planet. We're just here doing something that is vitally important for the kingdom of God, and that is holding forth the word of life. Amen. So wonderful. I thank the Lord every day that I could have gone by the wayside. I could have ended up in damnation for eternity, and simply because it would have been a choice of my own and not that God would want me there. Amen. God doesn't want nobody going to a place that was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his bunch. sad thing to say is the fact that people choose to go there simply because they refuse the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you have your Bibles today, I want you to open up 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we always hear on messages on TV and everything of how most of the messages are focused on living this life and living it more abundantly. But I want to go a step further and say that God has prepared us as believers in His kingdom to be everything that they are preaching we should be on TV. Are you following me? I want to declare that because it is something that God has given us that belongs to us, and that is to succeed not only in this life, but in that which is to follow. God intends for all of us to succeed. This morning, I want to encourage you and challenging you and I'm not saying, don't be stupid and try to give yourself a long list of something that you want to change this year, but just find one thing that you want to accomplish this year, not only in the Lord, but also in this natural world, this natural life. Many of you are living far below what God intended you to live. Not that you are trying to live by the desires of things in this world, but do you know what? When you live your life out of your spirit, man, then God puts a wisdom in you to succeed even in this realm. Not only in that which is to come, but also in this realm. How many of you really believe that? God intends for you to succeed in this realm as well as that which is to come. But in order for you to succeed in that which is to come, it is obvious or only real obvious that you would have to succeed while you're here as well. Because they don't function apart from each other. And yet at one time the church taught that. If we could just get through this time period and reach heaven, it would be worth it all. Well, Paul the apostle, he knew more about that place, the dwelling place of the third heaven, more than anybody else. But he said when he was here, he would live as in so that when he'd pass this life, he would enter that life in abundance. So there is an important understanding that you need to succeed while you're here, because you're succeeding while you're here also coincides with what you will succeed for that value of life in the third heaven. How many follow what I'm saying? And too many times when we don't follow the leading of the Spirit, we live far below what God intended for us to do, because we are to be examples to a dying world of the goodness and the greatness and the love of God for mankind. A man cannot find an answer. You know, my brother-in-law and his wife, Sue's sister, came up and he wanted to watch C-SPAN because he wanted to listen to a certain individual speak on the subject of Abraham Lincoln. I guess I didn't know that my brother-in-law was into history. You know, it really intrigues him. And so as I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, this guy gave his whole life to know one man, Abraham Lincoln. And to me, that's sad, because I want to give the rest of my life to know my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you have that desire? You know, last year, starting off in the year, and all of us are starting off with a new year this year, every one of us in this building. Last year I said, Father, I have several areas that I want cleared up in my thinking. I want to know you more. Matter of fact, I told you that this coming year, I wanted to declare more of an understanding of the Word of God. Do you guys remember me sharing that with you? I wanted to go deeper in my knowing the value of my redemption and the value of the kingdom of God. In this last year, John Cook can testify, this last year, John and I have come to a deeper understanding and a deeper enlightenment and a greater meaning that makes God even more simple. And I find that the deeper you go with God, the simpler He becomes. Hallelujah. And this last year, I can truly testify that I do feel that I've accomplished that one desire, because I have never seen my Redeemer as I've seen Him this last year. And of course, a lot of the information I shared with those of you, mostly on a Wednesday night service, but as a whole, how many of you really feel that you know the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater depth and a greater way from last year to this year? Yes, many of us do, that are consistent with hearing. Now, this morning, did I have you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Yeah, okay. Go to verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this is a passage that we go to a lot and just read it. But listening to this man talk about Abraham Lincoln after he was through, this next guy came on and he had a book that he's selling. And do you remember the name of that book, Sue? A Brief History of the United States? Was that the name of it? Yeah, do you remember his name? Anyway, he's what you call a representative for both parties. And they call him, they hire him to be a historian, right? Yeah, a historian. And he is to remain in an unbiased position between the Democrats and the Republicans. And so he wrote this book called A Brief History of the United States. And so his job there in Washington, D.C., in the book room there, was to invite all these special guests in, and he would explain the book. And as he was speaking, I really gave this guy credit for the knowledge that he possessed. And I was amazed at how unbiased he was, but the information he gave spoke so much of the understanding that it kind of scared me a little bit of the condition that the United States is in right now. You know, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus said clearly, A kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. Now, him being unbiased, his concern through all the questions that were asked him, they were phenomenal questions, just tremendous questions. The thing that how he answered back so shocked me, because I had not seen the reality of the condition that our country or our nation is in until he started answering some of these questions. Some of them he couldn't answer because they directly related to specific presidents, and Bush being one of them. So being in an unbiased situation, he could not give his opinions on specific presidents and things like that, including the one that we currently now have sitting in office. But one thing that he said that so shocked me, he says, never before in the history of the United States has our nation come to division in Congress. He said, you now have Democrats that are total Democrats, and you have Republicans that are extreme Republicans. And he says, now there is a division in our nation that one time, he said, you could come together and you could go to barbecues and you could fellowship, Republicans and Democrats, and there was no opposition. And then when you come together with the problems of our nation, even though there was a difference of parties, still they could come to an agreement to settle an issue for the good of mankind rather than for the good of the party. And he says, now we're living under a society that is now so divided that neither one will cross the other without repercussions or penalties for it. My people, that is horrible. But what really shocked me more than anything else is that he gave an overview of Europe and their voting, and they have like a low would be 96% in their voting turnouts. And 2 years ago, prior to this concession where he was explaining his book, he says, and now this was 1 week before the Thursday night voting. You know, you picked that up when you were listening to him talk. He said that the United States only had 58% turnout, and we were bragging what a great turnout that was. 58%. And he said that shows you the division that has taken place in our country. One of the questions that was asked, do you think that we are on the verge of civil war? And this man was so sharp. He reminded me of Kenneth Hagin. He would never give you a straight answer. He would give you a story, and you'd have to pick the answer up in the story. And so after he gave his assessment, he kind of left you hanging about the civil, the condition that our nation is in light of the voting. So if you only have 58% voting and you have a Congress that is completely divided, that means that our country is susceptible to whomever we elect to put in there for that party to gain control. And that is not what our Congress was intended to have happen. Are you following me? In other words, if you're a Democrat, you want to gain a position of control so that the Democrats can control the United States, regardless of the Republicans, or the Republicans can go into office and gain control regardless of the Democrats. And so in the voting, did you notice a lot in the voting that both parties would always bring up? We're going to reach across the aisles. We're going to reach across the aisles in spite of our indifferences. That shows you right there. There is a great division in our nation right now. And so he brought this. The answer to that he brought up was this. He said he fears for the United States because of the fact that everyone in prosperity has become independent thinkers. We're not thinking as a nation, a core nation in unity. We're actually thinking more independently than we've ever thought, and therefore we bring great division. Now, I noticed that during the Vietnam War, never in the history of our nation has more of a been a protest against the war there. And to me, when I saw all the fighting going on and the colleges retaliating, and how many of you remember that time period? Remember the time period where racism was rampant in the streets and the whites against the blacks and the blacks against the whites, and it was a horrible time in America. And me being raised here in the Northwest, I was not acquainted in the East. I wasn't acquainted or real familiar with racism. It wasn't a part of my life. Are you following what I'm saying? Because people were people to me. It didn't matter what color their skin was. They were human beings. They were a part of my life, a part of my society. They were just as much as part of me, regardless of what nationality they were or what color they were. They were just a part of my life. And my family, we grew up that way. We grew up not making the distinction. Are you following what I'm saying? Did you know that that when a society begins to divide itself in any form or fashion, it creates death? How many of you realize that? It creates death. It creates war. It creates discomfort. And that's not what the kingdom of God is all about. It is not whether you're a Greek or a Jew. Are you following me? Bond or a slave or you're a free man. That is not the issue. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? We're all a part of a nation that's called unity. The unity. And I like diversities of nations. I love it. But I don't love it when there's a war between it. Are you following me? You know, I looked at one time on the History Channel. They did a real in-depth biography of Hitler. And I'm talking about from when he was a little boy all the way up to present day and the relatives that are still surviving from his lineage that live in America. And matter of fact, some of them declined to even be on the biography program because they didn't want to be identified and be associated with Hitler. And some of them did, and they got on there and they expressed their feelings about being connected to him. But you know what I thought was very interesting? To show you how the devil works, he works from the inside out. That's how he wants to work in our life. And so when I heard about how he was raised by his stepfather, who was a devout Jew, and forced a punishment upon him, not a discipline action, but a punishment so severe that it got into the heart of that man, and that man was destined with a hatred to destroy the Jew. And so we think of Hitler being the catapult to death, but it wasn't Hitler. It was his stepfather who was into a religion that literally drove a man to hatred by that religion to cause that man to rise up against the Jewish nation. Are you following what I'm saying? And one of the things that the father drilled in him was the laws that were imposed out of the Old Testament. And you know what one of them was? Thou shalt not touch a dead body. Did you know that was one of the laws? Do you know what Hitler said? I purpose to violate that. And so his whole concept of destroying the Jews was in defiance that he could kill a Jew and still live in the presence of a dead body, and it didn't matter. And with every assassination that was attempted on his life, there was 20-some, with every failure, it made him look more like a god in the eyes of people because he was defeating fate. Now tell me that is not sickness. That is not a perversion of our society. So when we drive people to the point where they're driven rather than they have a heart to follow, we got chaotic mess. How many of you believe that? Now, When I was listening to a certain individual preach on a mindset for change, it brought several things to my thinking that I inherit as a believer. And today I want you to say to yourself, and I know a lot of people don't like this concept of starting off with a fresh outlook this year, but you know what? All of us need to do it every year. You need to reevaluate your life and assess what you succeeded in doing and what you haven't succeeded in doing. You need to assess that. And so you can make changes where changes need to be made. Are you following me? Not for the negative, but for the positive. And the Word of God has so given me such five principles that every year I go to these principles and I look at them. And some of them I don't like and some of them I say I've accomplished. Because your life by the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He did for you was to spell out one thing for your life. To succeed, not only here, but there as well. Because your whole life is wrapped up in what God has provided you called success. Now, most of us try to make decisions out of tragic situation. I'm telling you, even in a tragic situation, you don't have to be moved by it. You can make a decision right in the midst of tragic situation and turn them around and not run away. Because you are a son of the Most High. So these five things that the Bible is very clear that you as a believer inherit for success is one, is that God did something to change your present situation for a better future. God has done something presently for you so that your future can always look bright. Make a note of that. In other words, He has provided a change of your present situation for future success. That is point number one. Point number two, you'll never change your life until the basic principle of understanding the Word of God is that you have to change your thinking. And many churches do not get a hold of the understanding that you are not to allow yourself to be churched, but you're allowing yourself to be transformed. That is the purpose of what the house of God is really about. To show you how to change the way that you think. Are you following me? That is the second point that God gave us the right to choose to do. We have a right to choose the way we think. Praise God. When you're under dictatorship, you lose that. But when you're under the kingdom of God, you gain that right. Praise God. Point number three, you'll never change until a desire and a dream are greater than the pain to accomplish it. And God has given you what it takes to have a desire and a dream that you can handle the pain to accomplish it through Him. Because greater is He that is in you than that which is in this world. God has conditioned us to fulfill a desire and a dream. But God's Word came in not to leave a man to his own way, but to show him the best way that he needs to go so that his dreams and his desires are fulfilled. Satan's whole demise is to get you to not accomplish any of these. The fourth thing is that God's Word gives you a different way to change how you count things in this life. Many people cannot stop counting the problems and the obstacles. That's all they talk about and that's all they think about. But God's Word is designed that you can start counting the opportunities in the midst of the problems. Glory to God. That's what His Word is all about. So that you can start counting success in obstacles. success in disappointments. Are you following me? That's what God's Word is designed to do. To infuse courage in you. To encourage you. To strengthen you. To face anything that you could face in this life. That's what God is all about. Some people, they come into the kingdom of God, they get fire insurance, and they could care less about their spirituality from that point on. All they do is come into excuses and let their body rule them. When your body is your number one enemy. Not the devil, the body. Your physical being. It doesn't know God, it knows about Him, but doesn't know His heart. That is the unjust judge. He has no regard for man, nor God, glory, only his own comforts. And there's where the mind of the flesh is excuses. So you have to change the way that you count things in this life. Stop counting the problems and the obstacles and start counting the opportunities in the midst of the problems and obstacles. Losers. It may be possible, but it's too difficult. Winner. It may be difficult, but I know how it's possible. I know it's possible. There is no temptation taken me, no test and trial, that God has not provided a way of escape for me. A loser, they have excuses. A winner, they have a plan. A loser sees a problem in every answer. Boy, some of them type of people I sit and listen to, my gosh, I just want to say, shut up and go your way. Because they see a problem in every answer. I know I could do that, but you don't understand my condition. Boy, how many times we say, and we get so frustrated because we can't help you. Why? Because you see a problem in every answer. A winner sees an answer in every problem. Champions are people that train themselves to do those things that others are not willing to do. You want me to say that again? Champions are people that train themselves to do those things that others are not willing to do. I'm going to tell you something. If I listened to my body people, I wouldn't have a prayer life. I caught a hold of him real quick. And point number five, you have to change what you speak. That's something we can all work on. We have to change our conversation. The Bible is very clear that Jesus told us, taught us clearly that you have to change the way you speak. If you don't give your tongue to the right avenue, you can't change your course of life. Your words open doors or close doors. Your words create your world. Words are used to steer the whole body of Christ, according to James 3. To steer the course of your whole world, a ship, a body, a horse. Or he goes to say, the course of nature, your world. Some people do not take carefulness in what they say. And if you don't have the right character behind the right words, you will lose to society. Someone who knows how to develop himself in character and in his words, well, you'll find they're at the top of success. Well, see, God has given you that God-given right. Because He's fashioned His Word so that you can say the right thing. God is a wonderful God. He didn't bring us to salvation to destroy us, but He brought us to salvation for us to succeed. To change your future, He's provided a way to change the present. Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there. Ephesians chapter 2. One of my favorite passages. Because it means so much to me. Verse 1. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The word air here is the Greek word aeros, which literally means a sphere around the earth. That is where Satan operates. He operates in a sphere around this earth. And his kingdom is set up in such that he influences nations and places to dominate it and to control it. I forgot who I was talking to. Several people in this body, many of them were telling me they've been at certain places and felt a certain heaviness in certain places. Absolutely correct, because there is more of a demonic presence in certain places than other places. Simply because of the activity of the human heart on planet Earth. Are you following? Not things. Somebody said, well, if you have the wrong things, well, then you've got to leave planet Earth. You've got to float out there in outer space to stay away from things. It isn't things that draw demonic things. It's people who attach themselves to things that draws demonic presence. Are you following me? Bob Yanyan years ago at Rhema was testifying how you could have a Rhema student stay at your home for a time period until they could get a housing of their own, and some of the teachers would volunteer to take in certain Rhema according to their living quarters. And he brought this one guy in who, he said, had a religious spirit. It was incredible. And one day they were eating, and this young man says, ever since I started coming here, I felt a demonic presence. And I just thought I should inform you. And so Bob Yanyan, of course, was insulted. He says, really? It's like saying, how come I didn't sense it? There's a demonic presence in my home. And so he asked the young man, he says, well, what do you think is causing a demonic presence that you're sensing in my home? Seems how you don't have a home of your own. Bob Yanyan had a way with words that cut you right to the floor. And he says, seems how you've got that kind of attitude, I'll tell you right where it is. It's on those pictures you got on the wall there, them owls. He looked at these owl pictures he had on his wall, owls. And Bob looked at him and said, you mean because I have these pictures of owls on my wall, there's a demonic presence in my home? And he says, well, yes. He says, why did you pick owls? He said, that is a form of satanic involvement. Owls. And Bob Yanyan, he's the kind of guy you didn't want to come across something as stupid as that. And he leaned back in the chair and he says, then you and I have got a problem. And the guy said, well, what is that? He said, God created him. And he went and proceeded to tell the young man, little symbols like that, little things that are, they have no mind or will to them, they're kind of like dumb idols. Paul mentioned them dumb idols that have no voice. Well, there's no life in them. The only life that comes alive in them is what you give it. It comes out of your heart. And he says, you will stop feeling a demonic presence when you quit looking at those owls that way. He says, I'm going to help you. You're leaving the house. I thought that was so funny. But some people can think weird. But listen, if you don't understand that at one time you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is what you're no longer attached to. The only way that you have a misery in your life is because you believe more in the misery than you do the success of something. And look at this. He says in verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the desire of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just set there. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, to co-quicken together in life, and raise us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our God. Hallelujah. He's come into your life in such a way that you can literally change your future by your present. You have that ability. Isn't that good? You have that ability. Why, you don't know the condition I'm in. Then God's Word is not true for you. It's true for me, not you. If that's the mindset you have. Well, you don't understand. I have every demon in hell on my case. Well, you don't understand the Word of God. They've been dethroned. You know what? We are affected by our surrounding. Do you know that? You are affected by your surrounding. If you don't surround yourself with the Word of God, you don't surround yourself with believers, you don't surround yourself with the understanding of God's Word, you could be acceptable to anything that comes down the pike. That's Satan's whole MO, is to get you off alone, to divide you from the body of Christ so he can hammer you with a bunch of junk in your thinking. Again, you'll never change your life until you change the way that you think. You've got to make a decision to think and see the best in every situation of life. You've got to see an answer. And do you know you have a biblical principle for that? If you will, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Thank God for the Word of God that I can go right to the Word of God. When my thinking gets negative, I can go right back to the Word of God and say, listen, you negative brain, you. Look at what the Bible says right here. Starting with verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, I'll let my requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Meaning when I go to God, I'm going to get an answer. And look at this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is what you've got to meditate on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Glory to God. How are you going to get something positive out of this world? How are you going to get something positive out of it? I'll tell you how you're going to get something positive out of it. By keeping your mind in the Word of God. He who keeps his mind on me is stayed in perfect peace. Now in closing, I'm going to share something with you. This man said something that's scary. He said, there are people in our nation holding high offices that he knows that if they knew the office in which they stood in. And he said the scary thing is many of them don't know nothing about the office in which they serve. And he said if they did, he said some of them would hate it. He said that. And you know what? That tells me we got people that are sitting in an office for the office title rather than the servitude of it. That is how Christians are destroyed. They're called into a position with God, and if you're ignorant of that position, then you can be destroyed. Now, I don't know where our nation's going now. It's divided. And my Bible tells me a kingdom that's divided can't stand. We're headed for some difficult times. I know it in my spirit. But you know what? Thank God for difficult times, because then I can hold forth the word of life no matter how difficult things are. That is where your peace can shine the most for a world that doesn't have an answer. This one young man stood up and says, "Well, what do you think is the answer?" And he says, "Because we are so divided, I can't give you an answer. It takes us working together to make it work." Do you know what? The nation did not invent division. The history of church introduced division to the nation. If we as a nation are not the salt of the earth, if we lose our savor, then wherewith will it be preserved? We cannot, as a nation under God, we cannot survive being divided. Well, it's the same thing in a church. A church can't survive when it's divided. That's why you have what we call church divisions. Because that same spirit, that same ungodly thing gets into a church that's gotten into our nation. Do you know what? If every believer turned out to vote, we'd bring that percentage up. But you know what? When a believer doesn't take a vote, you know what he tells me? Then you elect to go with the guy that's put in. Because you do take a position, regardless of whether you vote or not. And I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be that kind of a believer that doesn't want to vote because there's an excuse. Are you following me? Because I want to have a voice. Are you following me? And if I elect not to vote, and yet the one that goes in that I wouldn't have voted for, then I have voted for him automatically. And people, I don't know what the percentage was this last vote. Somebody said it was a little bit above that, but what, 62%? And yet you've got foreign countries that turn out 96% in Europe. That's common. Where are we at as a nation? Well, I'm going to tell you what. We've got Obama in there now. You better not take a negative side to him. You better start praying for that man. Are you following me? And don't start knocking those that voted for him. Start praying for our nation and start praying for that president. Start praying that the mind of God would be reflected in the government that we do got there. Start praying that our government starts coming back together as one unit. But I'm feeling in my spirit, there is going to be something that has got to shake this nation to get us to come back to as one unit. Something has got to happen. And I don't know what that is, but I'll tell you what, you as believers, you better start praying. I don't know what the future holds, but I know what the future holds for me. I know what the future holds for the church of the living God. It has a hope. It has a future that don't change. Those five areas, they don't change. And I got news for every one of you. If you apply these principles in your thinking, we have a good future ahead of us. We have a good year till next year. That's how I'm looking at it. That's right. And I'm just going to be straight up with you as a church. Get on the stick or get off of it. Now you're going to say, well, why get off of it? So you won't bring confusion to those who are on the fence. Be one way or the other. Don't be cold. Or lukewarm, I should say. If you're going to be cold, be cold. If you're going to be hot, be hot. But don't be lukewarm. Because the Lord cannot contain you. He wants you either hot or cold. Why? Because if you're stone cold, He got something to work with. But lukewarm believers, even God's counsel can't reach them because they've got this duality going. They've got excuses going. with the kingdom of God so they can live their life any way they want to. They got these excuses rolling back and forth. And God hates lukewarm people. Because God will say one thing to counter the other, and the other will say one thing to counter the other. I woke up one day and got to thinking, what is Christianity all about? And God spoke and said, sold out. So it's all about sold out. Quit looking for excuses. Get on fire for God and stay so lit that you contaminate everybody that you get in contact with. Amen. Stand up, everybody. I decided not to give you two sermons this morning. Those five things. Would you guys like me to type these five things up for you? You know, because they're good. If I have them every year to review, I do. I go over a review every year. And you know, right after the first year, it's all right to do that. To do a checkup from the neck up. It doesn't hurt a person. And grab a hold of one good core value and do something with it. Just one thing. Not a whole bunch, because your flesh can't handle a whole bunch. You'll burn out. Just take one thing at a time and accomplish that. And if you take a step every year, imagine 5 years down the road. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for the kingdom of God being in our midst. And Father, I thank you for the churches that are established in this earth. We are the salt. And the nations are going to have a hard time going downhill as long as we stay united. And Father, I'm going to believe and trust that we as churches together will unite to know right from wrong, to help a nation come together for the sole purpose of remaining under God. And so, Father, within the heart of every person here, with every head bowed, Father, if there be anybody here that has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior and would like to do that today, Father, we want to minister to them and bring them on into the kingdom of God so that they're firm in it. And Father, if they don't know whether they're firm in it, they need to respond this morning and get confirmation in their heart that they are a child of God. If they're wavering whether they qualify or not. Father, it isn't by good works that we come into the kingdom of God. It's simply receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then the confirmation will come as we grow in you. So, Father, if there be anybody here, and if you're here as a believer, you know that you've come into salvation, but you've broken fellowship with Him. If you want to renew that position with Christ, then we're going to give you that opportunity as well. And so we want you to respond and come up to the altar for that prayer. If you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another heavenly language, we want to be able to lay hands on you to have you speak in that wonderful language for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so with that said, when I dismiss the servant, feel free to come right up here and let us pray with you, whether it's salvation or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, whatever it is that they need, Father, they will receive it through the altar ministers of this ministry. Because we do have the Word of God on those areas. And so with that said, Father, thank you. May everyone have a safe trip back home. And Father, may the Seahawks win. Amen.